good morning. Good morning. Have faith in God, Brenda. That's that beautiful song. Indeed, that's what we need, and have faith in God. I want to welcome you all this morning. Everybody, we welcome you to the plus those who are in the parking lot and out on the web as well, that on the this afternoon when you listen. We welcome you all to this today, and we're glad to have you in the house of the Lord. Raining on the outside, kind of a dreary Sunday morning, but certainly beautiful here, and good to see you here. And so let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for giving us a day that we can come and worship in your house. And now, Lord, we ask that you bless us as we go forward today. And we thank you again, Lord, for all that are here. And these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. All right. Well, again, good morning. And this morning, that I know you may be wondering where our pastor is this morning. Some of you know, some of you don't. But he has asked me to be sure to let you know that Pam is getting weaker, and he feels like he needs to be with her today. And so he's asked me to fill in for him today. And so I'll be a very poor substitute, but I will do the very best I can. So in the meantime, let's have our hymn sing this morning, as we normally do every Sunday morning. And let's go to page 405. I just did have faith in God, Brenda. I was going to sing it. Let's go to 406, the solid rock. And this is from your lesson this morning, Rita. My hope is built on nothing less than the solid rock. Page 406, verses 1, 2, and 4. As we stand, please.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Amen. Welcome somebody this morning, please. All right, I have a few announcements for you this morning. First, next Sunday will be communion. We'll have communion next Sunday. It'll be the fifth Sunday. Let's not forget that. The deacons were discussing how we might be a more of a help and service to Pastor Ed and Pam, and the thought came that if we could prepare meals for them. The family's coming in to be with them, the pastor told me last night. Some of the family's coming back to spend some time with Pam and the pastor. And so he will have guests in the house. And so it will be a good idea. And so the deacons have asked that you would consider signing up to carry a meal and put the day on there. And Jeff will have the sign-up sheet on the back bulletin board. And so be sure to go by and check that if you'd be willing to help and support, okay? All right, and are there any other announcements this morning? Yes. Now, when is the offering going to run through again, please?
Through the end of February.
End of February. Okay. All right. Everybody got that? Okay. The Pregnancy Resource Center. We've supported those in the past, those people in the past. Certainly a good organization. So it's a good one for us to help and support. All right. Any other announcements? All right. Let's now go to our prayer request. And, of course, we want to remember Pam and... I've told you that she is getting weaker and the pastor is with her this morning. And so let's do keep Pam and the pastor and all that family in our prayers and our love and support. We've been asked to remember Debbie, the sister-in-law of Miss Rosina, who has cancer. And we remember her in prayer this morning. We'll do that as well. And then Betty Davis has been asked to remember Betty this morning, as Betty would plan to be here today, but she got up and was not feeling well at all. So let's remember Betty Davis. Are there others this morning? Yes, Lori.
Y'all be in prayer for Providence Church of God youth group. They're leaving today to go to Tennessee for a youth retreat.
I'm sorry, leaving where?
To go to Tennessee for a youth retreat.
Okay, okay.
Jordan's traveling.
Providence Youth Group. Okay, absolutely, boy. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Is that K-I-X?
K-I-X.
Okay.
He has some heart issues, but he's healthy.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, that we can come and worship. Thank you for the freedom of worship. And now, Lord, as we go forward in today's service, Lord, we want to remember all those who will be taking part today in today's service, the supports that we have, the support groups that we have to make the service work each and every Sunday. But, Lord, without you, we would surely fail. So we ask your blessings upon us today as we worship in your name. Now, Lord, as we also go, now we have a list of people that we want to lift up to you, Lord, to remember. And, Lord, we pray now, Lord, for Pam. Lord, you know she's been laboring hard in your vineyard, and she's a servant of yours. And Lord, we pray for her this morning. We ask that your will be done in her life. And the family, Lord, we pray for them as they support. And Lord, if it be your precious will, we pray, Lord, that you would give her peace. We pray, Lord, that you would give her rest. And pray, Lord, that you would give them understanding. And then, Lord, as we've also remembered Miss Debbie this morning, who has been asked to remember her as she has had cancer as well. Betty Davis, Lord, we lift her up to you this morning. She's not feeling well this morning. And then the Providence Youth Group, Lord, Providence Church of God, will be in the way. Remember them as they travel. We pray for traveling mercy for them. And let's remember Baby Kicks this morning, who is in Duke. And Lord, we pray for that child, and we ask to lift her up to you, Lord. Now, Lord, as we go forward today, Lord, we pray a special blessing upon our service today, and we ask you to bless us as we go forward. And these blessings I pray, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We've got a song from a praise today that we've done one other time before. And I think you'll remember it. It's kind of a happy song, I think. So, Jeff, if you will, you all stand and we'll sing it together. The words will be up on the board. And I'll do my best to lead you. Amen. So we'll do that. Kind of starts off with... Hand clapping. If you can do that, that's fine too. All right, children, you are dismissed. I feel like an old preacher friend of mine one time said it. Every time I get behind this sacred desk here, I had an old preacher friend of mine say one time he was asked to go and preach to a huge crowd in a huge auditorium. And he looked around that auditorium and he saw so many people. And he said, I believe it had more than one time zone. It was so big. And he said, but then I got to thinking and I said, God, I know you put me here, but God, don't forget where you put me. And that's kind of the way I feel this morning. I feel like God's put me here so that I might exercise my heart, my giving of my spirit to the pastor. I try my best to do that. I'm not nowhere near will ever be a replacement for a pastor, but I will like to serve, to exercise my servant's heart, and that's what I'm doing this morning. Kind of, if you will, Jeff, put it up on the screen for me. We got a interesting title to the lesson today. It's going to be When Nothing Seems to Make Sense. Now, if I would ask each and every one of you, if there have ever been a time in your life that there seems that something does not make sense. It doesn't. Why is this happening to me? I've done nothing wrong, but still, it makes no sense to me why this has happened to me. We're going to be looking at three men in the Bible today as we study this word today. And so if you would please, while I'm doing this, let's go to Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 39 first, and then we're going to be looking at Joseph, of course, when he was in prison. We're going to be looking at Job as he was sitting in the ashes, and we're going to be looking at the Apostle Paul in prison. But as I said, there's times in our lives when we have done nothing wrong. We've absolutely done no reason why we should be in the shape we're in. A lot of you know that all of you probably do, that I went through a little battle with a kidney stone. And this message was, I've had it, the outline of this message for some time in my Bible. I made the mistake of telling the pastor I had it, and so. But this message has been outlined in my Bible for quite some time. And so when I had my kidney stone, it was like neon blinking, because I remember very well that I was in such pain and I couldn't stand the pain. I mean, it was horrible. Carol Burnett always said about a kidney stone, it was like taking your lower lip and pulling it over the top of your head. It was the kind of pain that you're in. And when I went to Thanksgiving to be with my son, everything went beautiful Thanksgiving day, but then Thanksgiving night the pain came back and I was on the bed just screaming with pain and hollering in tears, and I said, Lord, what have I done to deserve this? And then this message hit me just like a ton of bricks and said, I will always be with you. There'll never be a time when I won't be with you. And so that, I want you to look at that bottom line that's in dark print. And if you don't get anything else out of my message today, I want you to remember what that says. Don't doubt in the dark what God has given you in the light. Say that with me, would you please? Don't doubt in the dark what God has given you in the light. And this came to me when I was on that bed of pain, and I thought, well, wait a minute, I'm already doubting that God's with me, and I know He's with me. And we started praying, and the pain subsided, and I went into the restroom there, and I passed that dreaded kidney stone, and I praised God for that. And I wanted to share that with you, that God is always with us. Now, if you would please, let's take your Bibles with me, and let's look at Genesis chapter 39. It's a good place to start when we're talking about this. This, of course, is the life of Joseph in 39, and we're going to begin in verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there bound in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in his prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Now, I want you to look at this. By the way, this Bible's not broken in yet. It's a brand new Bible that Phil, my son, gave me for Christmas, and it's good to be able to use it. Good to be able to use it in this way. But look at the life of Joseph here as we, what is happening to Joseph. Joseph, of course, was in the house of Potiphar, and Joseph was sold into slavery. We know the story of Joseph, how he was sold into slavery. Of course, his brothers were threatened by him all. They felt like they were, and they're jealous, and they sold him into slavery. And Potiphar, who was a chief of guard of Pharaoh's army, he was very high. I guess you would call him he would have to be Secretary of Defense if you would put him a label on it today. But he was quite high in Potiphar's army. But he had Joseph, and he brought Joseph into his house, and the same thing that happened here with Joseph, where it says God was with him. God was with him, and so what happened with Joseph and Potiphar's house was that Joseph began to get more and more of confidence of Potiphar, and more and more and more confidence that he did, more things he turned over to him. And next thing you know, he was in absolute control. He was the overseer of Potiphar's house, the absolute overseer. Nothing went on and nothing was said unless it was approved by Joseph. And so by doing that, then Joseph was always in charge every way that he did. But then there's an interesting thing here that as Joseph was in charge, no, and people began to resent that. Don't you? You ever think maybe a lot of people resent authority? Just in general, a lot of people just absolutely resent authority. But Joseph here, as he was going through the day, he was he was very virile, he was a fine-looking young man, and so Potiphar's wife took a shine to him, right? And what she wanted to do, of course, is she wanted to spend a night with him. She wanted to do that. And so but she kept asking him and threatening and teasing him and all the things that to do. And Joseph every time refused. Then there was one time she decided she would try again. And this time she grabbed him and got his coat, right? And she got his coat, and Joseph ran right out of that coat, and out the door he went, which is exactly what he should have done. But what had happened? She then called in the people of the house and said, Joseph tried to molest me. And so, of course, then it went to Potiphar. And then you pick up verse 20, which is exactly what we just read. And Joseph now is in prison because of why? Because Potiphar felt like he had done something wrong. So at this particular time, we could say that Joseph might be thinking, well, this doesn't make sense. I've done all the right things. I've refused all of her advances. I've done everything I'm supposed to do, and yet here I am in prison. But Joseph didn't do that. Joseph didn't say that. Because you see, the reason Joseph didn't say that is because he knew that the promise, what God had said, was, I am with you. God had already proved it to Joseph many times over that he was with him. He proved it when he first got with Potiphar, and as he began to work with Potiphar, and all the things began to change over to Potiphar. And I remember in reading the verses that Potiphar said, I have got so much, you are so much in charge that I feel like I don't own anything except for the very bread or the very meat that I have in front of me. The meal in front of me is all I feel like I'm in charge of. That's how much Joseph was in charge in Potiphar's house. So God blessed him to be there. Now look in prison. Look in prison. Is he crying? Is he complaining? Is he saying anything like that? No. What he's doing, he's still working. He's still working for the Lord. And the Lord is now blessing him again and placing him in charge of the prison. Placing him in charge of the prison. So now we find that this was a slave, a Hebrew slave in charge. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery, and we're going to cover him until he was 30. But do you know that out of those 30 years that we're going to be talking about today, the span for Joseph, that most of that time, he was either in slavery or he was in prison. Potiphar has him in prison here is going to last a while. It's going to last a long time. Because he thinks that he should have been out, but he's not. He had every reason to complain. But he didn't. So now look, Jeff, you would switch the ship to stream. Right now you got it. Let's remember Job. And as we go forward today, I'm going to remember two other men that could have said these same things. And let's now take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Job. This will be Job, and this will be the second chapter. We found that certainly that Joseph did not sin. Joseph did not complain. Joseph kept on working for the Lord. Let's look at Job, and this Job beginning. This is the second chapter, and it's beginning with the fourth verse. A lot had already happened, and we'll cover that in just a second. And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth into the presence of the Lord and smote Job and sore boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took the potash, potsherd, and scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. This is Joseph. This is Job now sitting in the ashes. And right before that, in verse 1, the most horrible thing you could think of had happened to him already. Number one, he lost all of his livestock. He lost everything he had, and then his family was also taken in death. When Job is sitting here in the ashes now, he's all alone. He has nothing left, absolutely nothing left except for his wife. But look at this. And then his wife, let's look at verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But notice what Job said. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of a foolish woman speaketh. What shall we receive good in the hand of God, and shall not receive evil?" And in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Don't doubt in the dark what God has given you in the light. That's exactly what Job is saying here. God has given us all these blessings, and how now can I speak against God? How can I speak against God? As he sat there, and as I think about the condition that Job was in now, he had a right. I think everybody would have complained because these boils that he had, and he's sitting in the ashes, he's lost all of his family, lost everything he has, but his complaining wife. And I'm not picking on the ladies this morning. No, don't go home and say, "Leonard's picking on the ladies." No, it just happened that this was the part of God's test for Job. And she just happened to be the part of it that was there. But the fact is that Job realized that God had blessed him so much. But think about it. Did he have reason to say, "This doesn't seem right. It doesn't make sense to me. Why am I here in these ashes? And I've lost everything I have. What did I do to deserve this?" Did you ever say that? Come on now, you know you have. I don't ask it for a show of hands. I won't do that. But how many times have you said, "What did I do to deserve this? What did I do to deserve this day that I'm having?" All of that Job could have said as he sat there, but he did not. He was about to find out that he has some friends coming that's not going to help him a whole lot either. And that's a whole different story in Job's life. But the point I want you to make in this point is that Job did not sin against God. Now, the other person I want us to look at is in Acts. So turn over to Acts, if you would, please. Turn it to Acts 16, verses 20 through 28. There's also a verse I want to share with you, too, and it's in Proverbs, and you don't need to turn to that. I'll read it to you as soon as I can find it with my new... Proverbs is in the, it's in the third chapter of Proverbs, verse 5. Tells us all to remember this, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's a very strong message to us. When we are in doubt in the dark, just remember that the trust in the Lord. And notice what it said, not just a little bit, with all thy heart. With all thy heart, with all thy being. With all thy being is what he's saying here to remember to do. And so that's what you have to do when the times are dark among us, when the doubt's there. We can remember when the light was there and shed upon us and all the blessings we have. You know, there's an old song that we sing here, used to sing a lot. We don't sing it hardly anymore, Brenda. And it's count your blessings, name them one by one. And you know, if we did that, we'd be here the rest of the day. Rest of the day without any problem. If you just counted the blessings that you already have. And that's what, after all, Job was doing. Now let's look at another hero of mine in the Bible, Apostle Paul, Acts 16. Acts 16, verses 20 through 28. Paul and Silas. And they brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, whom having received such charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Switch the screen, if you would, please, Jeff. When you think about what Paul and Silas was going through here, think about where they were and think about what had happened. All they were guilty of was preaching God's word. All they were guilty of was praising the Lord. And yet they got beaten for it. And let me tell you, this was no small beating. This was beating close to death. And then they were thrust into a dark dungeon. Now, this is not prison with any light. It's in darkness. Probably rats are running around and human feces all over the place. I can just imagine what this dungeon must have been like for Paul and Silas as they were sitting there. So did they do what some people might tell you to do? Did when you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on? Wasn't that sweet? That makes a little bit of sense. Or grin and bear it. Do you hear that? Anybody will tell you that? Just grin and bear it. Or things are going to get better on up the way. All those three I've heard a lot. But Paul and Silas were in a very bad situation, and they were in pain. They had been beaten near death, and their bruises or all the cuts in their body had not been taken care of. And there they were. And what did they do? At midnight, they broke out and sang in a chorus and began to sing. And they began to sing. And this is what we're talking about. And then when they did sing, things good began to happen. God became to be a chain breaker. He began to be the chain breaker. He began to be the heart saver of all in the prison. So then, and when you look at the reasons for it, I want you to look what happens when all things seem to go wrong. There's six things that God wants us to do and to keep in mind when all things seem to go wrong. Don't demand a reason from God. That's easy to do. It's easy for us to say, why me, Lord? And you got to tell me why I'm going through all of this. I don't understand it. Not one bit. What's the reason? Go back now on the things that we have already talked to you about. Think about the ones that we've had. Not one of them has complained, and not one of them has asked and demanded for an answer from God as to why they were in this situation. Job later on wanted to die, but he never did question God's authority. Never did. And so when you look at that, you're going to realize that they never broke that first one. Don't demand. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't question. It's okay to try to understand. Let's try to understand. It's okay to ask God and try to understand. But don't be upset if the answer is not immediate. Because if you look at what happened to Job, and you look at what happened to Joseph, and also to Paul and Silas, the answer came later. Sometime much later. In Joseph's case, the answer didn't come to 30 years later. 30 years later. Remember Joseph's dream? Remember his first dream was, and when he was 17 years old, that the world, that his brothers would come before him and bow before him. And then the second dream he had, that the world, and as he knew it, would be before his feet. That was his dream. Do you realize, if you'll turn with me let's look at 13 years later, and let's go to Genesis and 41. And as Joseph was made ruler in verse 37. Let's read this. This is how sometimes you don't demand an answer for a God, and sometimes the answer is, and number five, be willing to wait. Are we willing to wait on the Lord? Are we willing to do that? Joseph was, but look in verse 37, and the things that were good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all of his servants. And the Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find any such one as this, as a man to whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed these all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. That thou shalt be over my house. And according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. Joseph was placed second in command. He was the prime minister of Egypt. But he was 30 years old when this happened. Prime minister of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in the vestures of fine linen, and put on the gold chain around his neck, and made him ride in the second chariot to the king, to the Pharaoh, is exactly where he was. Nobody, listen to this, and Pharaoh said unto him, Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot without you knowing about it and without you approving it. That's complete control. Now, there is the dream that Joseph said he had coming true when he's 30 years old. Joseph was willing to wait. We need to be willing to wait on the Lord. There's no guarantee when trouble hits us and when that problem hits us. Don't doubt in the dark. When that darkness hits us, there's no guarantee when lightness is going to come back. When the light's going to come back. It did for Joseph 13 years later. 13 years later for Joseph, it did. Now notice this next thing. Don't fail to be faithful. I couldn't help but go back to Paul and Silas when I thought about don't fail to be faithful. When that darkness hits, don't fail to keep on keeping on the faith. Not only did they not fail to be faithful, they had service. They had a revival. And what happened, remember? The gate, the keeper of the prison, and all of his family were saved. That's what got for waiting for Paul and Silas. And don't give in to bitterness. Easiest thing in the world to do when your feelings are hurt and when things don't go right for you is to be bitter. If someone does you wrong and does you evil, it's so easy to be bitter. But notice what happened to Job Job was not going to be bitter. And you know the reason Job wasn't bitter? Because he realized who gave him all the wealth to begin with. He realized how his wealth, how important it was to the very beginning. And all of that was important to him. And then now number four is don't get angry. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I have to tell you, I work on that more than any problem I have is my temper. I'm apt to do that, and I try not to be. But Donna will tell you that I'm certainly not perfect when it comes to the temper part. But I'm doing much better. But sometimes I do tend to get angry. Now, there's nothing wrong with good anger. There's good anger. Christ was angry. We know that. God gets angry. Oh, my. He gets angry. And that's okay. That's righteous anger. But how do we get angry? When someone does us wrong, don't get angry. Be willing to wait. And then that last part, number six, I love this one. Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop dreaming. Everybody got a dream? Have you got a dream? Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream. His dream was that he was going to be the ruler and the world would be his footstool. That was his dream. Never thought that for a moment that it would ever happen to him, but it didn't. And the reason that dream was with Joseph and the reason that dream was important to Joseph was he knew that God was with him. Now, that's the key to the whole thing. The reason Joseph was successful, the reason Job could say what he did, and the reason that Paul and Silas did what they did was very, very the same reason. God was with them. Now, does it not make sense to you that if God can be with them, he's with you too? And that's exactly what I went through with the kidney stone. I had to get down on the bed and just start screaming almost before I realized that God was with me too. And he was with me there. And I can tell you now, he'll be with you here. He'll be with you here. I think about Apostle Paul when it comes time to be time willing to wait. And I think about being faithful. Apostle Paul, as good as he was in Corinthians, he said, I'm perplexed. Now, what does that word perplexed mean to you? Confused. As good as he was and as good as he was, and God looked after him and kept him straight, but he said, I am perplexed. In other words, I don't understand. So is it wrong to not understand? No, not at all. But I'm also convinced of something, and I think there's some things God's never going to let you understand. You agree with that? I think that's true. We're never going to understand it. Sometimes we're going to have to wait years before we understand it. As I said already, Paul and Silas had to wait till after midnight when the chains were broken. And the guard's life was, he was ready to take his own life. And what did Paul say to him? What did he say? Don't worry, I'm here. Don't take your life, I'm here. Have no fear. Because God's a chain breaker. He'll break your chains as well. Sometimes we bind ourselves with chains of doubt and chains of darkness comes upon us. But God will take care of those as well. And you know, in closing, I thought about old Potiphar. I'm going to go back to him just a moment. Potiphar had every reason in the world to be thankful for Joseph. And now that when he had him in prison, he put him in prison all those years, and now that he's back, and there's a lot went on between the time that happened and that when Joseph was released from prison and went to the palace. You think about Joseph. He went from the pit. He went to Potiphar. He went to the prison. And he went to the palace. All of those things he went to. And God made him and blessed him in each place. These verses that you read them is almost identical when it says, and God blessed him. And when God blessed him, what did he do? He became successful. He became successful. And I think about how Potiphar, probably, now this is not in the Bible. This is a Leonardism. This is free. This is not in the Bible. But I couldn't help but think old Potiphar, when he looked up and saw that second chariot go by, and there was Joseph. I couldn't help but think he probably went back that night and said to his wife, now, are you sure this is the one that did that bad thing to you? Are you sure this is the one? Because if you're not sure, he's going to be my boss in the morning. And I never thought about it, Kenny, so much, but I think they probably did do just that. Don't you think for 1 minute that your sins don't find you out. And so this thing was going to come back to haunt them. I don't know when. The Bible's not clear on it. But I can tell you now that God's scales balance. Sometimes, again, you don't see it happening right away. It don't happen right away. But God's scales do balance. So there will be times in your life when nothing seems to make sense. But I do ask you again to keep in mind, don't doubt in the dark what God gives you in the light. And it makes so much sense. And if you'll just go back, and when things are going wrong, if you'll just go back and think about that blessing things, the blessings that God has given you, and how He can give you more and more. I can tell you times when God has opened up the windows of blessings on me and blessed me beyond count. And I could share that with you today. And some of them you would say, well, he's just bragging. You wouldn't say that. You'd just say, God bless him. But that's the kind of blessings God will give you if you will be true and if you'll be honest to him. And I appreciate you coming. I appreciate you listening. Now, there might be someone here. I was thinking about this altar down here. It's not used that much. You know? I don't know why. It's just not used that much. If you look at the carpet here, it's just as clean and pretty. I think we'd be good to come here this morning. I think we'd like to close with that. If you'll come and join me. Now, some of you may not be able to bow. Just sit on this front pew. And Kenny, I'm going to ask you to lead us in our prayer this morning. Come down and join me if you would, please. And let's use this altar. Let's use this altar. We've got a lot of things to pray for. And we've got a lot of things to be thankful for. And we're going to close with this morning and do that. Join me, please. You're at liberty to go. Thank you.